Hey, all, welcome in to Objectively Good Takes. Dan Rich, this is my buddy Hippo, and we're here to give Objectively Good Takes.
On week one of the NFL.
Yeah, this is an exciting week. I don't know about you, but this seems like it's more hyped mashups than any other week one, thank God, recent memory.
Well, there's a lot of good milestones. We already witnessed a great game on Thursday night between the Baltimore Ravens and the Chiefs. But I mean, a lot of anticipated debuts from stellar rookies that we're going to see along with marquee matchups.
First, I want to shout out Fireside doing the intro and outro for our podcast. Appreciate it. Check them out at soundcloud.com/firesideprod. And then our schedule for today is we're going to go into the recap of the KC Ravens game, that wonderful Thursday night game that kicked off the season. We're going to do a little bit of a preview of the game tonight. We're recording Friday, not too far off from kickoff. And then we'll kind of talk about a couple of the games on the Sunday slate that we're interested in, and we'll get into some betting. And Hippo's bets are dynamite, so I would highly recommend hailing or listening.
I try my best.
Real, but also like hits above 500 consistently. So it's kind of
absolutely crazy. Proof's in the pudding, and make great pudding.
Stellar pudding over here at the podcast. All right, so let's get into the Thursday night game, kind of a recap of it. So, Hippo, was there anything first off, was there one grouping, either one of the offenses or one of the defenses, that really stood out to you during this first one of the year?
The Chiefs have a lot of firepower. I thought they left a lot on the board. They were still able to just have explosive players. I mean, that's what happens when you add Xavier Worthy. The Ravens defense, I thought, was going to take a step back. They are still pretty stout in the run defense, and they took Kelsey away for most of the games. Both of the tight ends were pretty eliminated, but then we had the emergence of Isaiah Likely. So I give props to the Ravens game planning and changing up their game plan mid-game to do something productive. They kept themselves in the game, almost brought themselves back. So I applaud that with Todd Monken. And I was kind of disappointed with Mahomes, because I thought he left stuff on the table there, but they're a team that gets better as the season progresses. So this is probably going to be one of the worst games as far as unity and all that. And I mean, they still get Hollywood Brown back in probably a week or two just to add to this. So I'm not worried at all. I thought it was well played. And yeah, just props to the Chiefs. Well-oiled machine.
They really are. It's truly just a remarkable team where they can just, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. You know, talking about this, where some of the late money was going on the Ravens. I feel like that's silly. Betting against the Chiefs every single time feels silly.
Right? Yep.
So the biggest takeaways for me from that game were primarily on the Ravens side. First thing is that defense is still playing with intensity. You know, loss of the defensive coordinator to the Seahawks head coaching, but they're still playing well. And Kyle Hamilton is a stun. That dude can play ball.
That's right.
So they were probably, I was more impressed that they kept Mahomes in. As you said, he'll expand as the season goes on. He gets better as he gets more reps. But even the fact that on week one, they could slow him to the degree that they did was impressive.
Absolutely. They get that. The Chiefs get the ball off the missed Justin Tucker field goal. And then they're able to get pressure on Mahomes and make him do something. He doesn't make stupid plays a lot, but that was a stupid throwing the ball in the middle of the field, not getting enough arm strength on it. Picked off by Roquan. It was just, that really changed the game, because Mahomes gets something there, gets them in the field goal range, that gives them another half possession. It makes the rest of the game just completely easier for the Chiefs. And that's something he just left on the table that I was like, Mahomes, you don't do that often, but you did it there. And that's something that won't happen too much more, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And Roquan had a game. He was
every, of course, always.
The other real piece that kind of, again, on the Ravens side of the ball, that I think a lot of people are going to probably overreact to, and we were talking about this before with Andy from Football Guys doing his breakdown on this. I really appreciate that. That Andrews was essentially taken out of the game, but basically taken out of a game due to bracket coverage of the entire game. And that really opened up Likely having the ball. And Lamar having to play superhero ball the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
That in conjunction with the rookie O-line play, rookie left tackle came in for one play and gave up the sack immediately.
Yeah. Rosengarten out of Washington, just one play. Chris Jones was picking the lineman he wanted to embarrass last night, and it literally changed the Ravens' game plan. We're like, we have to just do quick screens to Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely and do quick hitters. And kudos to them for actually adapting to that and making the change, because it kept them in the game, like I said before. But Chris Jones was just a menace last night. Him and Rashi Rice, I thought, were the MVPs of the game.
They both did so well. But Chris, yeah, I agree. I think if I'm going to give any MVP, I'm going to give it to Chris Jones, because he made life hell for Lamar. And having to basically reduce the game, the offensive game plan down to like screens, made it really difficult. So I think going forward, I'm not afraid of Andrews. If anything, I'd probably be buying Andrews in fantasy leagues right now, because I think he'll bounce back. I'm not going to take this one game as like a big deterrent. Same thing with Henry. Like the Justice Hill Henry snaps, that was huge. And like, I remember listening to Harbaugh doing a talk and basically saying that Justice Hill was going to have a big role in the offense. And it was, there you go, right there. Henry barely played any of the catch-up snaps or the receiving role whatsoever. But I'm not worried. I don't know about you.
I'm not terribly worried. I mean, it does say that if they do get behind or they have a 2-minute drill, Henry's not going to be there. So move him down a little bit, because he's not going to be with those workhorse guys. Like, probably put him behind, we'll see what happens with Kyron, but like Kyron, Saquon, guys like that. I'm not terribly worried. I mean, I wasn't super high on Henry to start the year, but he's still like a back-end RB1, high RB2 for you. So, yeah.
Okay, so we're in a similar position. Are there any other particular takeaways from this game? They're just going to roll into the next game. I have no problem with either of these teams, other than that O-line.
Yeah, the Ravens O-line, they're going to have to figure something out. Isaiah Likely, I'm going to like him as a third option. There's a tight end next to his name in fantasy, but it should probably be a WR, and he would probably be a wide receiver 3 in that rankings for me if there was, but there isn't. He's an interesting tight end if you need a flyer, if he's in a good matchup. I mean, he's just such a great athlete, such a great player as he displayed last night, that if he is a free agent in your league and you have somebody on the end of your bench, just I would make the switch. I wouldn't pay a bunch of my fab. If you miss on him, you miss on him, because this might be his biggest blow-up game of the year. He might have another one here, but he's a solid, good player, and it's nice to have those on your fantasy team at the end of the bench.
Yeah, I agree. But if that's the pivot, then that's not a bad pivot to have.
Yeah. Bench. That's enough on that game. Let's get going. Do you want to go on Friday night game?
Yeah, let's talk about a game that we're both really excited for. So what is your number one thing that you're watching this game? What is your big take?
My biggest takeaway, I want to watch the new running backs. Both of these offensives should be firing on all cylinders, but the thing is, both the teams that are coming in today brought in new DCs, so we're seeing new defensive schemes against great offensives, so it's gonna be a really fun game to watch. I think both these teams are on the elite side of the NFL, especially the NFC, and I'm not going to be surprised if we see this game later on in January.
I agree with you there. I think my biggest thing that I'm looking at is the wide receiving core for the Packers, and not for the fact that I have Jalen Reed on like 1,000 teams or anything like that, but the idea that as I said in the last one, I feel like I went into a coma when I saw Jordan Love be bad and then wake up and he's good. And I need to see that happen again. The sample size last time was too small. I want to see that him actually step into like a really big stage against a really good opponent and do really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to get the best, because Fangio loves bringing the heat. They're going to have a lot of blitzes. I really want to see how that offensive line picks it up. They're going to have to make adjustments during the game. And I mean, the receiving core for the Packers, how is it going to shake out? There's 4 or 5 options on that team. I mean, they're all just good players, so we'll see how it shakes out. But he should be able to exploit a few matchups with that secondary. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm just really excited. It's going to be a fun game. Should be a lot of points. But I think it's a close game. Comes down right to the wire.
I'm in it. I'm in for all of it. Okay. So now let's go into our Sunday preview. We'll do spreads and things afterwards, but let's first off go back and forth a couple times, picking a game that we want to talk about or that we're like very interested in seeing a certain aspect of the team or one team. Do you have one off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I don't want to take one of yours, Dan.
Please do.
Please do.
Go right ahead.
I feel like this is the one everybody's talking about when they're seeing the line. Like, that's too many points. The plus 6.5 for Arizona coming into Buffalo. I think a lot of people are circling that one. I think Arizona comes into Buffalo, and Buffalo's not going to know what hits them because you got Petzing with his running attack coming in. They're going to hit Buffalo in the mouth, and then Marvin Harrison and Kyler are going to go over the top with their secondary that's starting DeMar Hamlin. He shouldn't be starting in the NFL, but he is. So that might be something that they correct later on in the year. Buffalo's still going to fight Josh Allen. So the Cardinals' defense isn't one of the better defenses. If anything, it's going to be middle of the pack. So Buffalo's going to be able to respond. I think it's going to be an up and down game. A lot of points scored. It's going to be really entertaining seeing Josh Allen and Kyler Murray just on full display.
I'm all for that too. I think that 6.5 is also really interesting. But the Cardinals and their addition with Marvin Harrison, and what could this offense actually be? And are we, like, the biggest thing last year, and I know that Brett Coleman at Bootleg Football talked about this as well, is how, and EJ Snyder actually, how each one of the running backs in the Cardinals backfield averaged 5 yards per carry, each one of them. Like, it wasn't just one, each one of them, and what their offensive blocking scheme was. I wonder if that will carry over with this, like, improved passing.
It probably should. It might even open up the running lanes even more. Because, I mean, last year, Kyler wasn't even there for the first half of the year, first six games at least. And Connor was a workhorse. He's a great player. He just gets hurt probably, like, once a year for a few games. But when he's going, he really runs with a lot of authority, hits his running lanes pretty hard. It's just, he's a fun guy to watch.
Absolutely. All right, my first one, and this is twofold, because I am actually interested in the other team, but I just want to see Caleb Williams and Ashley.
Right.
I want to see this Bears-Titans game for that reason alone. I want to see, is the actual line for the Bears going to be this huge hindrance towards Caleb's game, or is he going to do the thing that he did at USC? He's going to break out, and he's going to be able to do all these insane passes that only very few people can actually make, like a Mahomes style of, like, yeah, I'm gonna find the open guy, I'm gonna make the downfield throw, or like I'm gonna hit the post and it's gonna be insane. You won't see it coming. I want to see if that's gonna happen against a potentially very, well, we predict not the greatest defense. I think we're probably saying a bottom half defense. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of the ball, I want to see what Levis is under a Callahan scheme. I want to see if the addition of Ridley is actually going to do something. And I want to see how those two running backs jive and how much of a split between the two of them actually occurs. I want to see if they get series alone or if they're going to go like a dual style or something. So the combination of those two, specifically around those QBs, is what I'm picking for that game.
No, this is a really interesting game, and it's all going to come down to Will Levis and how much he has improved in this offseason, especially with the passing attack there. With Callahan, they're going to pass a lot more than they did last year. I mean, Derrick Henry's not in the building anymore, and Vrabel's gone. They're going to be throwing the football, and if he can effectively do that, I'm not saying there could be an upset, but the defensive side for the Titans is a little bit interesting with the key playmakers they do have. You have Jeffrey Simmons up the middle. He's not on that level, but he might be able to exploit a few matchups where I'm cautious about DeAndre Swift in this game. I think the running game could be nullified. And then you have L'Jarius Sneed that they get from KC, who could lock down one of their guys. So if they take away DJ Moore, we're really going to be able to see if Caleb Williams can take a game over or Will Levis. So it's really interesting to see these guys in the first week. Let's see what they have. I mean, Keenan's questionable. I'm guessing he plays. It's probably just a little veteran rest there. But Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, you're probably going to be called upon with Caleb Williams to do some backyard football like we saw in the preseason. And I'm really interested, especially when you're at home in front of these guys that want to see you take these guys to the promised land, Caleb. You have the ability. Like, I want to just see him in his debut win this game against Tennessee because it would excite everybody.
Yeah, it would be thrilling. The whole stadium would go nuts. Chicago would go insane.
The whole city of Chicago would be a little bit happier.
Right. All right. What's your number two here?
My number two. Oh, boy. I got options here. Honestly, I think the best game of this slate is going to be Jacksonville and Miami. We're going to the Battle of the Floridians down here. I mean, both offenses should be firing. I don't know if he's going to play. And if he's out, I think this could call for Jacksonville spring the upset here. The key thing here is that Miami is really good at Miami at home. But Florida, I mean, Jacksonville, they're in Florida. They're used to this weather. They're not going to be one of these Buffalo teams coming down to the Miami Heat and cramping up by the third, fourth quarter. So I'm really excited to see how this actually plays out. And Ryan Nielsen comes in from where did he come from? Houston, I think. And then he comes in on Jacksonville and he loves bringing pressure. And Miami doesn't have that great of an offensive line. And is Tua going to be able to get his passes out to Tyreek in time and Jalen? Or is he going to bring the heat and it's going to get there? And what's Trevor Lawrence going to finally do with the Brian Thomas Jr. if Jalen Ramsey is out? There is just a lot of excitement from both these offenses that I'm ready to see this.
I mean, I don't have anything bad on that one. I think it's just going to be a really great game to watch. And it's going to be tight. I think it's going to come down to the wire. Another one that's going to be like, oh, yeah, this is a boxing match. Really interested.
Absolutely. Yeah, the 1 o'clock window has a bunch of these just nice matchups.
Yeah.
What's your numero dos, Dan? Are you staying in the 1 o'clock window? You going? Can we do anything here? Can we go to primetime games, 4 o'clocks?
Yeah, we can do anything here. Why not? This is our podcast, after all. I'm going to be the homer here. Yeah, I guess I am really interested in this game. I'm going to be the homer here. Not the Pats. Not an actual home.
Good.
that game, I'm not that interested. I want to see what the Seahawks defense does. I want to see Seahawks Broncos.
No.
And I really want to see if the mic effect occurs and this whole defense opens up. And we have all this movement. And a lot of people have like more owners over their plays. How are they going to affect coverage? I think it's a perfect, perfect first game for that because they get to play a little bit against a rookie QB. Mm-hmm. And I think that lets the Seahawks like play in the sand, right? They can play around with concepts. They can make some, you know, interesting calls. They can do something on the defensive side. They may not do against really, really good opponents that they know that they have to play a certain way against. So I want to see what that all melds out to. As far as the offensive goes, I'm not like Geno Smith is a good cute quarterback. Like he's proven that he's, you know, in his year 20 or whatever, that he's at least at wits. So I'm not super interested in all that. I think Kenneth Walker is going to be amazing. Regardless, he is one of my guy, quote unquote, my guys for this. So I'm ready to see that rushing attack, but nothing really else. I'm okay mm-hmm. with everything else.
No, I'm interested in seeing the Seahawks defense finally come to fruition here. I mean, there's some sleeper talk with Seattle's defense. And Bo Nix has been having this nice little fairy tale in the preseason. He hasn't seen anything too. It's been pretty basic for him. He's been doing a great job, though. Been really accurate with his passes. He's been making the right reads. Mike McDonald might be having his first wet dream since back in his eighth grade. I mean, he's going to be disguising coverages on this poor man with his secondary that Bo Nix doesn't even know is coming. And Mike McDaniels knows he's about to drop the hammer on this poor rookie quarterback. I could see the Seahawks just putting a whomping on the poor Broncos as they come into Seattle. Drawing up a rookie quarterback going in Seattle, playing a defense like that with the secondary they have, I think it could be a little bit scary and things could get a little bit ugly. The only thing that can keep Denver in the game is if they can disrupt Seattle's offensive line and make Geno look like a New York Jets Geno. Outside of that, I'm pretty confident that Seattle rolls here. They're one of my favorite picks of the week.
Yeah, we're in it. Same here. Turned back into a Jet. That would not be good.
Nobody would like that. The linebackers would be covering for fear because their jaws could be broken.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. What's your next pick?
All right, my last one. I'm debating. There's two. They're both the primetime games. I think we got two really good. All four primetime games that we got were served on a platter for us. I'm going to bypass Rams, Detroit. I'll give it a little cherry gloss here. We're getting a rematch from the playoffs. It's just awesome. Stafford going back to Detroit. There's a lot of vengeance in the air there. I think that could be a really good game. But yeah, mine is the Jets and the 49ers here. Aaron Rodgers is coming back after a year, and he's on Monday Night Football again. He's going to San Francisco, where he doesn't have a lot of success. I'm really excited to actually see Aaron Rodgers play a whole game, if he plays a whole game. Knock on wood. I really think the Jets have a chance to knock off the 49ers here. You have Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, the trio talent. And I think they're all better than the top talents on San Francisco. We got a better quarterback, Rodgers, better receiver, and Garrett Wilson over Ayuk and Debo, in my estimation. Is Breece Hall going to break out this year? Is he going to be what McCaffrey was last year? That's going to be a really good running back battle to see as well. And then the Jets defense. Let's see you against Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, let's see what you're made of. Are you a fluke? Are you a Shanahan production? Or are you an actual quarterback? Let's see it.
Into it. I think, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that he's still a sham. But I'm not going to speak ill of players. You know, especially players destroy my Christmas. No, we don't speak ill of those players.
No.
That had
absolutely not.
Thousands of dollars on the line for you to throw four picks on Christmas. No. We don't speak ill. But I think I'm in the same boat as you, because I'm one, what the hell is Rodgers? What exactly is he now? He's been a year removed from football and going through it. What is this defense? Is this Jets defense going to be elite for 2 years in a row, which is not easy to do? Like, I it could be done, but it's not that easy to do. Three, what exactly is the San Francisco defense? Because we know that they've lost some key players, and where are they going to be able to stop the Jets? And then four, how does this, like, game potentially not go crazy or go extremely low scoring? Like, are these two defenses actually going to stand up and make it really challenging for any of the offenses to do anything?
It's going to be a great game. Great way to wrap up week one.
There's so many marquee matchups that I am so excited. All right, I'll do my last one, and I'm going to roll back a little bit because I'm going back to the 1 o'clock window. You probably know which game I'm going to look at right here.
Houston.
Yeah, Houston Colts. Let's go. Texans Colts. I am so jazzed for the Texans this year. I think everyone is. Everyone's looking for CJ to just keep going. They added so many pieces. That defense is crazy. Like, I don't, like, the additions of Diggs and Mixon are one thing. And, like, they can shore up, because I think Mixon fits the actual run game that they wanted to run more than Pierce ever. And Diggs has a reliable catch option across from Collins, and then having Tank. Yes, you in the front.
So, Stephon Diggs, a very interesting offseason we've had here. He was named the captain over the other two.
He was.
That's interesting. I'm interested.
He as a fourth round pick could be like lunacy. He could return first round value for fans. I'm kind of betting on it, to be quite honest. Yeah. And then the other side of the ball. Like, we saw AR for four games where he was like a menace. I saw the stat, I think yesterday, where he's played 17 games since high school.
In his whole entire career.
Yeah. 17 games. That is insane. I don't know if you, in one off season, can teach a quarterback not to injure themselves if they've only played 17 games. No, yeah, you're right. No is the right answer. Some of the things were last year where I was watching him was he had this big play potential, but he had some real accuracy issues. Like, there were many targets that were completely off. And so having him actually come back, do something with Shane Steichen, make that offense click and actually hit his targets, that's what I'm looking for on that side of the ball. I think their defense is adequate. I think it's actually probably underrated. I think it's probably a decent defense. Well,
it's above average. Definitely above average.
Right. Not bottom 15, right?
No.
I don't think they're going to stop the Texans, though. I just don't. The line's close, so.
That thing. Well, Indy's at home, so they get a little bit of boost there. But that goes in nicely into our next segment here, because the Texans are my game of the week. This is my big game of the week, big game of the 1 o'clock slate. This is the one I'm going probably all in on. I love the Texans -3 here. The only thing that gives me some hesitation is what you are saying. The man named Shane Steichen. He's really good. He's a good coach. I got D'Amico and the boys going against Anthony Richardson. You know what? I haven't seen Anthony Richardson throw a nice slant ball, an in-route ball, or a deep ball. I haven't seen Anthony Richardson throw a football that would scare me. His legs scare me. Definitely they scare me. But they brought in Azeez Al-Hashir from Tennessee, one of the leading tacklers last year. Houston has a nice core in the linebackers that I think they could corral Richardson where it's not going to kill us. And then on the other side, we got CJ Stroud going back to the dome, and he's coming with 3 dogs, and they're coming quick. Another side note, Indianapolis hasn't won in the first week since 2014. So it's been a decade of losing week 1 games. I'm going with the Houston Texans -3 as my big bet of the week.
Sweet. All right. Lock it in. So we'll go into our next segment here in Hippo. We're just going to build individual ones, but you can feel free to parlay it. For the listeners at home, feel free to parlay. But we're just going to go through the bets of the Sunday slate, maybe tonight as well, that Hippo is interested in and would put money on. Doesn't matter how much, feel free to tail, that kind.
So, this is what I usually do a 1 o'clock window. This is my little teaser little parlay here that I love doing on the side of my big bet, just so I have something to watch on the red zone, keep myself interested in everything. But I'm essentially going to be looking at games, looking at what I'm really, my mind and my eyes are a gift from God, as I would say, and what really picks it on. And I'm going to switch the line to put it even more in my favor so that these bookies and their lines don't screw me like they want to screw you and all of our great listeners out of their money. We're not going to let them do that. So, all right, let's start off. Number one, can we switch lines on this one, Dan, or do we have to go to something else? I think we got to alt totals and stuff. I'll help you out. But the first one we're going to go to is,
yeah, we can do alt totals.
We're going down south, and somebody's coming home. Arthur Smith's coming home, Dan. We're going to Pittsburgh and Atlanta. And we're going to these two teams. Atlanta has a revamped defense now, and the Steelers have a really good defense, like really, really good. Probably a top 10 defense. That's the great thing about the Steelers. So I'm looking at that under, and the under is, what's the under, Dan? Let's pull up the Steelers and the Falcons under. This is the first one we're attacking. What is it? 41. Let's add 6 to that. We're going to make that a 47. We're going to make that 47, and we're going the under on 47. Going to be the first little part of here.
Got it.
Got it. All right. Under 47. What's that odds?
That is by itself -120.
Not good. Not good. We don't be betting minus. Oh, that's because, yeah, it's probably like -300, right?
Yeah. 224. -224.
Not fun to bet by itself, but guess what? There's more. Let's go to another game in our 1 o'clock window, Dan. We're going to Miami and Jacksonville, like we were saying before. What's the line here? It's +3. Yeah, it's going to be a close game. It could go either way. You know what I like even more than +3? Let's make that Jacksonville. Oh, it's +3.5. Now let's make Jacksonville +9.5, Dan. Miami ain't running away here. We're going +9.5 with the Jaggies. They're staying in there.
9.5. You got it.
Yeah. I actually really like ETN in this game. I think with the new offensive line for the Jags and ETN, I think he could do some damage here. So I like him. All right. The next game here. This one's getting a little dicey now because nobody in Cincinnati wants to be playing football. We're going to Cincinnati and New England though, Dan.
Okay.
It's a -8 spread. We're going to bring that down to, let's bring it down to -3 because I got a feeling that the Bengals are going to win this football game because the Patriots do not like to score points on offense here. So we're going to go with the Bengals -3. Joe Burrow coming out with that offensive line that I really like. Christian Barmore out for the Patriots. That leaves a hole in the middle there. Zach Moss is coming to town. Chase Brown is still there. They have a little bit of weapons. And Yoshi Voss, let's see you make a name for yourself. I like Cincinnati -3. I don't think they're losing a home game to New England. All right, we're going a little bit down. This is a twofer here. We're going to Buffalo. What's that line, Dan? plus seven. Plus seven. Let's make that a plus 13 for Arizona. They're not getting run out of this building. Not with that offense they have. A plus 13. And what's the over under for that game, Dan?
Oh boy. 47 and a half.
Let's put that down to 41 and a half, and we're going over.
Over 41 and a half.
These two defenses, they're not going to be stopping Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. So I think we're going to be getting over 41 and a half points. All right. My game of the week was Houston -3. So this is make or break. Let's just throw Houston money line in there, Dan. If Houston's going to really hurt me, they're really going to hurt me because I'm going to lose both my bets in this 1 o'clock window if they don't win. What are your odds right now, Dan?
I got to take one of the, which one do you like more? Ooh. Yeah, plus 13 or over 41.5 for the Cardinals.
Boy, that's a heartbreaker. We're going to keep the, which one has better odds? We'll take the ones that have better odds.
The over 41.5 is -214 and it's 254 for the plus 13.
All right, we're going with the over 41.5. Sorry, Arizona. You can get blown out for all week. I guess you got a late score.
585 are our current odds.
All right, we're not done yet. Guess where we're going next, Dan? We're making a trip. Where? We're going to the Windy City. Caleb, take the wheel. Let's see if you do some damage against Tennessee. Now, this one could be good. This could be a little bit closer of a game, so we're not even going to deal with the spread. We're going to moneyline Chicago. Come on, Caleb. Win a game for the homies. Is that it, Dan? Is that it? What's it now?
+963.
Here we go. One more. Do we dare do one more?
Why not?
Let's go to New Orleans.
Oh, God.
Let's go to the trash. I'm a panda, and I'm in the trash. What do I find? I'm sniffing Carolina +4. Do we make that a +10? Do we do a plus 10? Is Bryce Young 10? Coming out with a vengeance?
That is a line. I love it. Why not play it? +10.
What are the odds here?
+1330.
All right. Take out Carolina, Dan. We can't do it. We can't screw the people week one. That was a tease. All right. There you go. That's your going to be your week one little parlay on the side, teaser parlay that I love doing. They always try to screw you on the bets with the lines because it's always within one or two. Let's find stuff that we really like that these eyes have seen with our knowledge of football, and let's put it a little bit more in our favor so we can't get screwed by something late going on. That's why I love doing these little parlay teasers.
Love it. It's so great.
So was that +900? So.
+963.
So you put $50 on that, people, you won $450 if you like what you're smelling. I kind of like it. Do you like it, Dan?
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's such a good line. Oh,
what could lose there? What could lose there, Dan?
Oh, I don't know.
I really wish we could get the Cardinals +13 in too. That kind of stinks, but that's whatever.
It is what. DK doesn't allow for that kind of parlays through same. You have to like do that as a separate thing, right? You can like do same game parlay with both.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Dan, what else do you got? What's your favorite 4 o'clock game? Because mine's probably Seattle, but I also kind of like Cleveland. Do you have any opinion on that Cleveland Dallas game? Because that's a marquee matchup that we didn't really touch on yet.
Nah, I don't like either of those teams, to be quite honest. But for the two teams, I don't think Deshaun Watson is good anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think both those defenses are pretty good. I probably think that's low scoring, if anything. Could actually be the lowest projected. It's other than the Patriots, it's the lowest projected on the slate. So
really?
That is 41.
41, yeah. No. Raiders charge it. We're not touching that. No. We aren't degenerates. I don't even know. That's one of the few games that I just don't know who's going to win that game. I think it could go either way. Yeah, that one's tough. Yeah. But I kind of like Cleveland and the Dallas one. I think They have a better defense. They're going to, I think the run game is going to get nullified by Dallas there. And Myles Garrett's on the rookie Tyler Guy in that left tackle. That could spell for a bad time. And they have the secondary where you really can try and take away CD if you want. I mean, he's probably still going to get a little bit of his. And then on offense, I think they have more variety at wide receiver. Because I kind of like Jerry Jeudy. I don't think he's a star or anything, but I think he's a productive vet now in this stage of his career, and I still think he can be pretty productive. So you do that with Njoku, and then Amari Cooper's got a little bit of revenge on his mind. So I think the Brownies won that game. It should be a good game, though. It might be the best 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, I'm still going Seahawks as my favorite 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, that's probably going to be my favorite bet for the 4 o'clock window is probably that one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, do you want to talk about Sunday Night Football? Let's talk about Sunday Night Football, Dan.
Sure. You know, a little bit of Matthew coming back to Detroit to do some ball play. Yeah.
Do you think the Rams have a chance?
Yeah, I think the Rams have a chance. There's a lot of good hype coming behind all the press regarding the Rams and what exactly they're going to do. I think that this team, the youngest team, basically went to the playoffs last year. And so, yeah, we're going to come back. We're going to do really well. I'm not sold. The one thing about in Detroit in particular, I have no idea other than on Monra and Laporta, who's catching the ball, right? I don't know who this offense goes through because they have DPJ and they have one other receiver. Tim Patrick is now on that squad.
And they brought in Tim Patrick.
They released him and signed a practice squad.
Okay.
But yeah, I think Tim Patrick. Who is the second receiver lined up with Monra? I don't know.
Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
This time.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'm going to rest my laurels on it. See, when he hits, great. I applaud him for hitting. But I don't, I'm not going to hope any longer. It's we're year 3 now with injury and then being a bonehead and now we're here. It's the only reason that the thing is the only reason that someone like that doesn't get cut is because they were on a rookie deal in the first round. That's the only reason. Otherwise, they would just be sent all done.
Yeah, he has the draft pedigree and he has the talent too. I mean, they must see something in practice. I wouldn't give up on Jameson Williams. He was just so good at Alabama. I'm interested in him this year, especially with Goff, because I think the best part of Goff's game is his skinny post passing. I think he's really good at it, and I think Jameson Williams can exploit that on some defenses. Can you go down? Let's go down the Rams Lions line here. All right, so I think the Lions are going to win this game. I think they're going to win it in a somewhat close fashion. The thing with the Lions that I'm always getting weary on now that I think about them is on the defensive side of the ball. They were really good on run defense last year, and Alex Anzalone was a big part of that. He has some injury concerns. Last year, he finally stayed healthy and, good on you. He was on the Saints for a long time out of Florida, just was constantly always hurt, finally held a full season together, and it really helped. And then in the secondary, they have a few rookies. I'm a little nervous that this is how the Rams keep this game close, but I think the deciding factors here is on the Lions side on offense. That offensive line, and with Aaron Donald missing, I think the Lions do win this game. It's 4.5 now. That scares me. It was at 3.5. That means a lot of money's going on Detroit. I think I like the Rams with the points in this game, but I don't like doing that when I think they're an inferior opponent. So, Dan, can we clear the best slip? I want to give the people something to watch for on Sunday night. Let's clear all that out for a little. This is what I call this happens because of that. So we're going to go to Detroit and we're going to, instead of -4.5, I think Detroit wins the game. So whenever I think somebody's going to win the game, I like putting that line at -3. So Dan, if you could please put that at Detroit -3 for us.
Do that.
Right. So Detroit -3, they're going to win this game by 3 points, and they're going to win it because of this, because they're going to run the football behind that offensive line where Aaron Donald isn't any longer. And the odds for this guy to Jahmyr Gibbs are probably a little low because of the hamstring. Will he get the workload where he's going to be able to get what I'm about to propesize or whatever it's what called? Maybe, maybe not. But the thing with Jahmyr Gibbs is that he usually busts a long run. So I'm going to, let's look at Jahmyr Gibbs' yards total, Dan. Got to do a lot of scrolling, but we'll get there eventually. Well, all right. So we got 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. We're not doing 100. We're not throwing away our hard-earned money. I'm not doing 90. I'm not doing 80. I'm not doing 70. It's between 50 and 60. Dan, what if we do 50? 50 plus, what is that? All right. So you got Detroit minus three. We didn't take a pause or anything. And then Jahmyr Gibbs 50 plus yards running. And what were the odds before when you're doing minus 4.5, Dan? It was probably minus 110, something around there.
Yeah.
Those damn bastards at DraftKings are trying to steal your money with a +4.5 spread where the Rams might win by, I mean, where the Lions might only win by 3 points and you get a backdoor cover by the Rams. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to take the 3 points and we're going to combine that with a Gibby 50 plus rushing, because if the Lions do win, it's probably gone because Jahmyr Gibbs has over 50 rushing yards. It's not a lot for him. He's probably going to get that in the game they win. And we're getting plus 122 odds. You know what? That's better than what we were getting if we did the lines. So we're going to lock that in and put that down, and you're getting some plus money. I love getting plus money. We love plus money bets around here. That's how you make your money here, kids.
Let me save this.
And then if 60 plus would be probably like plus 150. But I mean, that's where I don't want to like totally get greedy, where it's just like, I'll take the lowest that it's still very feasible. And you go with this line and it's just the best way to go. Well, what else you want to talk about, Dan? What else is on the slate? Week one, just whew, football's back, baby.
Oh, it's so great that's back. I think we hit on most everything I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Were there anything else that you want to touch on?
Tonight, Green Bay, Philadelphia. What I'm going with is I'm teasing this game. I think it's going to be a really close game where the spread might not totally factor, but I'm going to give respect to both sides because it could go either way. I'm not going to completely dive myself into one or the other side. So I'm going to go Green Bay. We're going to tease that from +2. We're going to +8. I'm going to give respect to Philadelphia because that offense is really good, but I don't think they're going to pull away and win by two scores. If they do win, I think it's a touchdown max. I like that just because it's 23-20. You might have to go 43.5 to get the best odds. If you have to, I would do it. It's just a little bit more risky, but 42.5 is what I got.
There we go.
If I didn't have to pick a side, that's where I'm going more too, because Philadelphia, they need to replace their center. They're out there starting linebacker wearing the green dots, telling Ken all this, and they had secondary problems last year. That's where Green Bay excels, especially LaFleur with his game planning. He likes to just draw up plays for his receiver to get wide open, and Jordan Love's really good at finding those wide open receivers. The only reason that I would have hesitancy on that is Vic Fangio is not someone to screw around with. He's a very good defensive coordinator. And you got Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, and Devonta. They're stars. You got a lot of firepower on that Philadelphia side, so I just like to respect them a little bit because those guys can really take over a game. But if I had to go one side or the other, I'm leaning Green Bay right now. Money line.
Sounds good.
Friend.
Kickoff is in an hour and a half. This is exciting. And I think we're going to call it there.
Right. Let's call it a wrap, Dan.
Hey, thank you for tuning in to Objectively Good Takes. I hope you tail all these things. Check out Hippo. Hippo, you got your Twitter to plug here?
Oh, yeah. Hippo_ball. HIPPO_BALL. I'm a hippo that knows ball, that likes ball. And Dan, you?
And I'm at FFDR on Twitter. If you want to tail the picks in the sheet that we just have, and you're listening to this before the Sunday slate, we'll have those at our Twitter so you'll be able to tail them. So look out for that, and we'll get to you for breakdown of the first week games next week, and talk to you then. Thanks, everyone.
Peace out. Good luck, everyone.